For the 1 million homeless children in America, school may be their only safe and stable environment. But public schools have been uneven in their response to a mandate from the federal government that requires them to reach out to homeless children. Advocates for the homeless are bitterly divided over whether homeless kids would be better off in their local public schools or in separate schools with special services. Today, Morning Edition has the second of two stories on educating the nation's homeless children. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports those who favor separate schools are losing ground but not giving up.
Each morning, just as day breaks, buses from the Thomas J. Pappas School for Homeless Children fan out across the Arizona desert, picking up children at rundown trailer parks, dilapidated motels, and homeless shelters near Phoenix.
Everybody sit down. Ready to leave.
They cram in three across. Sixth graders Kelly and Lindsay, both with ponytails and lively smiles, are happy to be going to a special school.
When you go to a regular school, they make fun of you. They just like call you scrubby and stuff and say you're dirty.
They say you got lice and all that, but because it's just not true.
The students are dropped off in front of the cafeteria. Like the campus, it's sunny and modern, and there's plenty of breakfast. Fresh fruit, juice, milk, and something that looks and smells like a pancake-wrapped hot dog. Students seem very content. Principal Jarrett Sharp remembers the humiliation he felt years ago when he had to display a bright orange card to get free food at his school. At Pappas, he says, kids don't have that worry.
Everyone gets free lunch. Everyone gets free breakfast. Everyone goes to the medical clinic and gets their teeth checked. They all go to the clothing room and carry trash sacks full of clothes onto the bus every day. And twice a month, all the kids get a food box that they carry home. And because that's common among them, we can get down to the business of educating kids.
Pappas, the nation's largest and most well-known homeless school, sees itself as a temporary solution, trying to buttress children academically and emotionally at a time when their home lives are in chaos.
Should we do another one?
Yes!
We'll do one more addition, then we'll do a subtraction. How about?
Fifth grade teacher Jennifer Hoffman seems wise beyond her 28 years, confident and upbeat, her style a mixture of structure, flexibility, and empathy.
They need a lot of attention and a lot of love. So many hugs every day, and they thrive on that.
On a typical day, she has 35 students, but her class is always in flux. She gets two or three new kids every week and loses the same number. By necessity, the curriculum is not as rigorous as it would be in a more stable school, and test scores at Pappas are very low. Experts say every time kids change schools, they lose weeks, if not months, of learning. And homeless children sometimes change schools 5 and 6 times in a single year. Pappas tries to break that cycle by keeping children in its school for as long as possible. The school's full-time psychologist, Stephen Reef, says he thinks of himself as being on a mission. And he says many of the teachers feel the same.
They're not only teaching, but their eyes are open. So not just for their psychological needs, but for their needs for affection, their needs for food, their needs for clothing. Without practicing therapy, the teachers have a very therapeutic approach.
Pappas offers things most neighborhood public schools can only dream about. Play therapists, access to all kinds of mental health and social services, birthday parties complete with presents. There are outreach workers who scour the neighborhood looking for children who couldn't make it to class, and buses change routes daily to pick up children wherever they are. Still, services aside, Ellen Bassick, president of the National Center on Family Homelessness, is not impressed. She says putting homeless children in separate schools is segregation.
They shouldn't be segregated purely by virtue of being homeless. The mainstream services should be held accountable, including the educational system, for the most vulnerable populations. There should be services that support these kids just like any other kid.
Those are fighting words for Sandra Dowling, the petite, spiky-haired bundle of energy who is the Maricopa County School Superintendent and the driving force behind Pappas. Dowling agrees that mainstream schools should embrace homeless kids and attend to their needs, but she says until they do, schools like Pappas have a place.
I'm not saying that 30 years from now we won't have a more ideal situation than we have today, but in the meantime, I'm not going to let these kids go by the wayside. I'm not going to let them fall through the cracks so that the system can catch up to where they're at. These kids are innocent victims. They shouldn't have to pay the price.
But during a recent congressional debate on the issue, many national homeless advocates took a hard line against homeless-only schools. Pappas notwithstanding, they worried that school districts would dump kids into woefully inadequate separate schools. Congress went along. Pappas and a handful of other schools were exempted, but new legislation will make it very difficult for most districts to have a separate school for the homeless and still get full federal funding. This was discouraging news for Sandra Dowling and other separate school activists, but for those who favor mainstreaming homeless children, it was a breakthrough. These mainstreamers discount concerns that local public schools aren't up to the challenge, and they point to school districts like Spokane, Washington's, to illustrate that neighborhood public schools can do the job. 11-year-old Levi lives in Spokane and goes to the local public school. On a recent evening, we find him sitting on the floor of a homeless shelter, building a gigantic fort out of Legos. Levi, whose mother only went through eighth grade, says he loves to read and do math.
The math is mainly what you want to focus on if you want to get a really good job. Any job, no matter what, even if you're a janitor, you have to know how to do math.
When you ask Levi what he thinks about having separate schools for homeless kids, he doesn't mince words.
That's stupid.
Levi has moved four times in recent months, but he stayed at the same public school. He can remain there for the full year, even if he moves far away. The school district provides free transportation, and children and homeless families are supported with a vast array of social, medical, and educational services.
Okay, I'll let you talk to Edie.
Edie Sims is Spokane's can-do director for homeless education. As she juggles a dozen different things, Sims explains that 3 years ago, the community closed its separate school for homeless children and implemented its neighborhood school system.
Would I go back? Never. The reality is we were not giving the academic boost that these kids needed and are very capable of doing. Once we start to separate and say, I don't think you can do it because your trauma, your ex, we've gone from caring to pity. And I have really strong feelings that the minute you start to pity someone, you have lowered your expectations, plus you've placed yourself above them.
What's more, she says, the separate model let the community off the hook. People didn't even have to think about homeless children. But now those kids are in 20 of the district's 23 elementary schools. And Sim says the community as a whole is taking responsibility for educating its homeless children. But Pappas founder Sandra Dowling worries that Spokane represents the ideal, not the norm. Keep in mind, Dowling says, that serving homeless kids is expensive.
They are more expensive in a neighborhood school than what the school can afford or wants to deal with. That's not saying that the school district is wrong, and that's not pointing a finger. That is reality. And you always have to balance reality with idealism.
Reality, idealism, and then there is passion. There is no question that in both Spokane and Phoenix, there's an abundance of passion and commitment to these children. And on this, homeless advocates do agree that these two elements, passion and commitment on the part of educators, are essential for every homeless child to succeed. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.